The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, Mike Murphy, familiar man for many years in radio and television, was back on the television recently, upsetting the likes of Alan Shatter in particular, by starting his campaign, or involved in the campaign, to stop the Eurovision, or Ireland to boycott the Eurovision in Israel next year. Mike, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Matt.
And of course, you are one of the figures who, I suppose, is familiar to many older people at the Eurovision. I remember
easy
you
now,
been involved
be
in the Eurovision.
Be careful what you're treading on here. Yeah.
But you went to many Eurovisions as our commentator.
That's right. I cannot remember how many I did. One of them, ironically, was in Jerusalem. And I enjoyed it very much. And I can't say that I sit in and watch the Eurovision every year. Now, that would be lying. But I enjoy the whole thing. I mean, I had a great time going around to the Eurovisions, and I still like the whole thing as a competition.
What has motivated you, given the fact that you have been in Jerusalem previously, to call for an Irish boycott of the Eurovision next year when it goes back to Israel?
First, I don't like the word boycott personally. I mean, you're quite right in that I'm saying that we should gracefully step aside, is the way I'd rather put it.
I think there's something honourable about a boycott. It actually was a word that originated
in Ireland anyway.
We originated
it ourselves, yes. You're right. But, I do think we should not get involved in the Eurovision because it's in Tel Aviv. And because I do think that at this point in time, the state of Israel is transgressing in too many things from a moral point of view and from a legal point of view. I was interested, years ago, I remember Kader Azmal asked me to get involved in the anti-apartheid movement, and I didn't, through crassness on my part, through laziness on my part, through being too busy, whatever, I didn't. And I regretted that I hadn't done so. And I had been reading about and hearing about injustices happening in Palestine, and I decided I'd like to go and have a look at it myself. So I did. So about September 12 months, I went and had a look. And before I went, because I had heard the word, which, again, another word that you need to be careful about bandying around, which is apartheid. I had heard people using it in terms of what was being perpetrated in the occupied territories in Palestine and in places like Gaza. And at the time, I remember, I went to the Oxford Dictionary to look up the definition of apartheid. And the definition was a policy or system of segregation or discrimination on grounds of race, right? So I was a week in the occupied territories, and I went around with a group of Irish people, none of whom I had ever met before. And I absolutely came out of it with the conviction that what I had seen was a policy or system of segregation or discrimination on grounds of race. I believe it is an apartheid system. So here's the Eurovision now, and the Eurovision is going to be a wonderful opportunity for the Israeli authorities to propagandize their country. And I mean, it's the prerogative of the host country to do that. And needless to say, they are going to do it. I have no doubt. I would be kind of positing a few questions about it. Will they show? And you know the way they do these little filmlets?
As if it's a whole travel brochures, effectively.
Precisely. Will they show the separation wall? I wonder, will they? Will they show the illegal settlements? Will they show the refugee camp in Aida, which I saw? Will they show Hebron, which is now a scandal unto itself, what they're doing in Hebron to the people there? Will they show the different license plates on cars? The Palestinians have white license plates. They're not permitted to go on some of the Israeli roads. And the Israelis have orange license plates. So you can see where there's a very thin line between discrimination and that awful word beginning with A.
Those are a whole set of rhetorical questions you've just posed, because you know what the answer is,
don't you? I know. I know what the answer is. And that's why I think that anybody who's going to go, it's a tough one. I mean, I know if I were in RT at this stage and I was asked to go and be the commentator, I would say no on conscientious grounds. But I respect people who will go. I would say, however, that anybody who is going is tacitly and possibly unknowingly supporting an apartheid regime.
But what about then the people who defend the state of Israel? I mean, Alan Shatter was very upset by what you did on Clare Byrne Live last week, said that the abused becoming the abuser is an extraordinary thing to say. He said it's grossly anti-Semitic and grossly inaccurate and an extraordinarily inappropriate reference to the Holocaust.
Yeah, no, and you see, and there was an article in the Sunday Business Post about that,
yes.
And I responded, and he wants to challenge me to a debate on national television. I've more or less told him to go to hell. And I also, in terms of an apology for doing that, I would be, this is an old cliche, they all run it out. If you criticise Israel, you are thereby anti-Semitic. I will criticise the Catholic Church, but I'm not anti-Catholic. I mean, I will criticise the Irish Country Women's Association for their appalling right-wing slants. I'm kidding about that, but I'm not anti-country women. So that is, it's an old, tired cliche, and it's sad to see somebody of Alan Shatter's calibre resting upon it and relying upon it and simply trotting it out once again.
I think many people who recognise the right of Israel to exist are just deeply disappointed and shocked and angered by the way that they have gone about the expansion of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
And then the treatment of other humans, given what led to the establishment of Israel in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I used the phrase the abused becomes an abuser, and I believe that that is what has happened. I also used the analogy of When a great occasion comes to a country and how it can be used for propaganda purposes. And I offended Alan, and I'm sure other people, by saying, although I was using the analogy because it involved the same people, Jewish people, I used the analogy of Hitler's Olympics. And because in 1935, the Nuremberg laws were passed, which said that the Jews are not going to be permitted to become citizens of Germany. They were not allowed to have extramarital relationships with Germans. They were not allowed to marry Germans. That was in 1935. However, the Olympics were in 1936. So the signs, Juden verboten, Jews not allowed, Stars of David around the cities, etc., and that and the Nuremberg laws were all, everything was kept under wraps. The signs were taken down. People, tens of thousands of people came from all over the world for the Olympics. And they nearly all went back saying it was fantastic. It was great. The German people, they were so welcoming, which they were. We got an unbelievable welcome. That Hitler guy, he's terrific. He really is okay, you know. They were no sooner gone than the signs went back up, the Juden verboten. They were no sooner gone from Berlin at that time. And the first prosecutions under the Nuremberg laws, which were set up in 1935, the year before, began immediately. So I'm kind of saying, well, I'm not saying for a moment there is anything going on like the Holocaust, or nothing like that. But the Palestinian people are being deprived. They're being disenfranchised. And even though the Israeli authorities know that the separation wall is illegal and morally wrong, that the settlements are being built illegally on land that has been stolen from the Palestinians, that the refugees in the refugee camps are not refugees from outside Israel / Palestine, but they're actually people who have had their homes and land stolen from them by the government of which they are citizens. So that's why I feel very strongly, and I saw personal insult being meted out to some of the Palestinian people, and I frankly was quite appalled when I came back.
You're not the only person I've spoken to recently who has been, John McColgan, who you'd know very well. Time in RT.
Yeah.
He has also published a book of photographs that he took in Palestine in the last year. He's been out a number of occasions. He's horrified as well by what he has seen of the treatment of human beings by other human beings.
Absolutely. I mean, it is terrible. I a couple of the incidents, have you time if I just
please,
tell you one or two incidents? In I saw in Hebron, the guy who was our tour guide, he was a middle-aged academic, multilingual Palestinian. And Hebron is simply horrendous. It was, it's formerly an Arab / Palestinian town, but it has been more or less closed down by the Israeli authorities. It is teeming with the Israeli Defense Forces. They're walking around all over the place with their weapons. We were walking down one of the open streets in Hebron. There are not many of them open. And three soldiers came over directly, walked towards us. We were a group of about 10, 15, I can't remember. But your man, the guy, was explaining to us what's going on. The Palestinian man, they went over and they said, come with us, we're taking you away from here. And I went over and I said, sorry, what's going on here? And he's not permitted to walk here. I said, what do you mean he's not permitted to walk here? He's not permitted to walk here. I said, what about the rest of us? You're okay. Why is he not permitted to walk here? This is a secure area. I said, he's a local, he's a Palestinian. These are his streets. He's not permitted because he's a Palestinian. We don't allow them to walk here. So he had to leave us. He wasn't frog marched, accompanied by the defense forces out of there, and he got a taxi and met us. He was asked to leave the city, the town of Hebron. I saw that. And shortly after that, we saw one of the settlers walking around with an AK-47 over his shoulder. And you just say, what is going on? You sure don't see a Palestinian with an AK-47 over his shoulder. I suspect he'd be taken into detention. I suspect.
Probably be shot.
Possibly so. So, and I saw kids being ritually humiliated by the defence forces. I saw a kid outside the Western Gate in Jerusalem. A bunch of soldiers stopped a kind of a teenager, 18, 19 Palestinian guy, and he had a kind of a rucksack. And they had a table and they got his bag, told him to empty it out. So then they started moving his things around the table, and they were falling off the table, off the edges of the table. So then they said to him, OK, pick them up. And then they started kicking the things from one to the other as the young fellow was trying to pick them up. And you just think, I remember seeing something vaguely similar on the bridge in Derry all those years ago, the British soldiers. And I remember at the time thinking, you guys, you're just creating another terrorist for your trouble. What are you doing this for?
Of course, I know what the Israeli reaction is that they're in fear that these so-called civilians are going to be terrorists if they come into Israeli areas and the rest of it. And obviously there are many people amongst the Arab community in the Middle East who do want the obliteration of Israel, which shouldn't be forgotten either.
Yeah.
But the problem is this been made worse for the Israeli people themselves by the actions of their army and their government?
Absolutely. And the fact is, too, a lot of people in Israel, a lot of citizens of Israel, a lot of Jewish people are embarrassed by what's going on. And you know, you're probably aware that the nation state law, which was announced only earlier this year. Was worldwide despised by everybody. And the nation state law that they went ahead with, despite everything. I mean, there were a lot of people opposed to it in the Knesset, but they still went ahead with it. And the nation state law is only Jews have the right of self-determination in the country. I mean, you can use the word discrimination, but you can use stronger words about that. That is unbelievable.
Mike Murphy, you have to finish there. I know there was a petition handed in to RTE. Is there going to be another petition for more people as they become aware that they can support?
To be honest with you, I'm not involved in any organised protest, Matt. I mean, I really don't know. I didn't sign the petition.
And what was the reaction of your old RTE colleagues when you went on Clare Byrne Live last week and spoke about it?
Mostly, I didn't get too much negative response. I did from Alan Shatter. I know he'd adore a TV debate. I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to give him the satisfaction. I don't mind talking about it, and I don't mind. Now, what I'm doing is, I don't know the politics too well. I don't know the legal situation too well. But what I do know is, I went, I saw it, and I made my own conclusions.
Mike Murphy, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.